Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. Today we speak with Dane Wigington about some of the reasons for this unusually warm winter. But first, let's look at some of the stories in other news. You know, I was having trouble sleeping, and you narrow it down to various reasons, and I remembered I had bought an electronic smog detector from Amy Worthington. You might remember her past interviews regarding the dangers of cell phone radiation, airport scanners, cell towers. Well, I thought, of course, there could be a cordless phone base or wireless router right against the wall where I'm sleeping. I turned on the detector, waved it around the area where I sleep, and it started making the sound. I taped up a Mylar blanket right on that area and turned on the detector, and the noise stops. So now I sleep right through the night. I don't wake up. But I mentioned this to one of the IT people here at the station, and he said, well, Jeff, it's going to accumulate a static charge. And you know what? He's right. It is. The room is charged. You move the blanket, and you see sparks from the static electricity that's being collected from the microwave radiation. But I was also told, just hook a ground wire to it and to a piece of plumbing, you'll be fine. Well, connect that to what our past guest, Peter Shempo, shared with us. He mentioned that cell phones, and I suspect other devices, using the same energy are blocking the human brainwaves from the natural telerics. What are natural telerics? Well, telluric currents flow in the surface layers of the Earth. The electric potential on the Earth's surface can be measured at different points, enabling us to calculate the magnitudes and directions of telluric currents and the Earth's conductance. And Peter Shempo was describing how during the day the telluric current flows south and then at night it flows north. He also pointed out how this affects our consciousness, our thought patterns, the way we think. These topics often cycle right back to microwaves or some man-made energy affecting the way humans process information. We're very vulnerable right now. In talking with Dr. Wood recently, she mentioned maybe why lead paint was banned. And yes, of course, it's toxic, but would lead paint block microwave radiation and the ability to see through walls using thermal imaging or other technology? Probably so. The campaign against lead paint was so massive, and I'm still very careful with paint chips and things, but there's lead in car batteries, in regular batteries that children play with and put in their mouth. You know what I mean? Now your walls are lead paint free and transparent to this new technology. And as Congress recently allowed the skies to be open for drones, 8 creepy spy tech, here's another story related. 8 creepy spy technologies that can be hitched to your neighborhood drones. Cute title. It's on Alternate by Tana Geneva. Wi-Fi and phone hacking. The wireless aerial surveillance platform, it's called WASP, can break into Wi-Fi networks and hack cell phones, according to Forbes. Jerry-rigged from an old Army drone by 2 former military network security analysts, the spy plane comes with the Linux system and dictionary to help generate password-cracking words. Plus, its antennas mimic cell phone towers, allowing the machine allegedly to tap into cell phone conversations and access text messages. Ideally, the target won't even know they're being spied on. Number 2, NYPD sensor that sees through clothes. The NYPD, which is not known for its cautious approach to the use of surveillance, announced recently it was perfecting a sensor that uses radiation to reveal weapons hidden under a person's clothes. 3, biometrics. Advances in facial recognition, iris scans, and other identifying biometric markers are speeding along with both police departments and federal agencies juicing up the biometrics industry by offering welcoming markets for its wares. Number 4, video analytics. The video analytics industry seeks to develop systems that can analyze and interpret data. So instead of a stream of raw footage, the camera itself can perform searches for people and objects of interest. One example is LPR readers that can read license plates and run them against a database, help match, identify, and track location. Number 5, see-through wall technology. For about decade, various branches of the military have been working to create sensors that can penetrate walls. DARPA's VisiBuilding project is working on surveillance capabilities to detect personnel within buildings. I think they already have that. Argus, ARGUS-IS, the 100-eyed giant, the military's autonomous real-time ground ubiquitous surveillance imaging system, endows the A-160 Hummingbird, one of the military's newest, fanciest drones, with the power to stake out 36 miles of land from one spot. The sensor can absorb 80 years' worth of footage in a single day. Using 65 video screens capable of tracking different locations, according to Wired, each video window is electronically steerable, independent of the others, and can either provide continuous imagery of a fixed area on the ground or be designated to automatically keep a specified target. The article continues. You may have noticed the surreal combination of leafless trees and hot weather, something you don't really see in New York. A couple native New Yorkers mentioned to me they can't recall a winter even being this warm. In February of this year, New York had zero snow accumulation. In past shows, we've discussed some of the research from California Skywatch in how extraction industries have artificially warmed areas in the north to continue mining year-round. That's only part of it, according to our guest, Dane Wigington. A couple of weeks ago, EMEG, the Arctic Methane Emergency Group, openly declared a global state of emergency. The first warning came last December when Russian scientists announced that thousands of massive methane plumes, a kilometer or more wide, were observed rising from the seafloor on the East Siberian Shelf. Satellite imagery confirms a huge methane discharge and accumulation occurring in the Northern Hemisphere. When you go to the EMEG site, they suggest it's time for geoengineering solutions. Here we go. Adding to the fact that the spraying is poisoning every breath taken by every living thing on the planet, it sterilizes the soil, inhibiting the boreal forests from oxygen production. And Dane writes, whatever the damage already done by human activity, geoengineering has, in all likelihood, reduced our chances to near zero. Dane has a background in lightning suppression and in solar power. He's worked on the construction of one of the first commercial solar electric facilities in the United States in the early 80s. He's investigated the diminished solar charge capacity that have resulted as a consequence of the ongoing deployment of aerosols from jet planes in Shasta County, California. Dane has also investigated the impact the toxins in the aerosols are having upon ecosystems in Shasta County, and talks about the changes that have been observed in water quality, the change to the pH in the forests, and the significant decline in some animal and plant species. Dane, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Jeff.
It's really good to have you back because this is a very interesting story and it's extremely underreported. Can you tell us what's going on with the release of this methane gas from the seafloor near the Arctic? When did this start? Because you pointed out that it happened in December as well.
December 13th is when some of the main scientists involved with the study of this particular region of the Arctic, the East Siberian Shelf, December 13th is when they first came forward and stated that they were seeing what they described as shocking methane releases from the seafloor. What they were seeing were plumes of methane a kilometer wide, and they were seeing thousands of them. And this is absolutely unprecedented, and this would equate to what has long been feared by many scientists who are willing to speak out as the methane time bomb, that it appears it has, in fact, gone off. And the gravity of that cannot be overstated, and there is quite clear paleoclimactic data that the two times in the last 300 million years that this has happened were global mass extinctions at blinding pace. The speed at which these events occur once they begin is hard to really comprehend.
it recently happened again here.
It appears to be happening right now. And again, it's a self-feedback loop that as the methane is expelled into the atmosphere, methane, many people may have heard, is 20 to 25 times, depending on the study, more potent than CO2 as a greenhouse gas. But that's over a 100-year time horizon. Over a 20-year time horizon, it's 75 to 80 times more potent. However skeptical people are of climate change and global warming, this event is real. And the fact that there is a huge part of the industrialized world and politicians that are trying to capitalize off of climate change with carbon credits and other things that are really a money-making sham, this event appears to be happening. And the temperatures that are occurring right now across much of the northern hemisphere should be ample proof to people that something is very, very wrong.
These are methane hydrates in the Arctic Ocean. And how do you know this is actually happening and it's not another piece of propaganda?
Well, unprecedented temperatures. I mean, last night in Chicago, for example, was in the mid-60s. It's supposed to be in the mid-70s in the next couple nights. That's the nighttime low, daytime high in the lower 80s. And again, these are shattering records by 10, 15 degrees. I mean, they're temperatures that are 30 and sometimes 40 degrees above normal, but breaking records in some cases by as much as 20 degrees. And, you know, you simply cannot have events of that magnitude without something being horribly wrong. And the methane, again, is very measurable. And the scientists that are speaking out as to the massive concentrations building up right now, you know, it's the scientists that have enough fortitude to speak out and aren't deterred by the threats that appear to be happening. It was well publicized. In fact, there's a massive ozone hole over the northern hemisphere now as well, too. And those scientists were threatened and expressed to the media that they were threatened if they speak to the media that, you know, their jobs were at stake and who knows what else. So, I mean, there's clear effort to try to suppress the magnitude of what's going on. And I believe, again, part of that suppression is so that people don't really comprehend the situation around them and, for example, don't see and aren't made aware of the massive global geoengineering programs, which appear to be overall making a bad situation much, much worse.
I'm glad you brought that up. You also had described to me in a previous conversation the effects on methane, and you used the Bermuda Triangle as an example. Can you talk about what methane does, how it changes the atmosphere, how it settles down on the land?
Yes, it's really accepted scenario now that the Bermuda Triangle incidents were largely, if not completely, due to methane hydrates being released from the seafloor. As a field of methane releases, it aerates the water like a bottle of champagne. Ships cannot support their weight, and they have no buoyancy. They sink as these fields release. The same with the aircraft, the piston engine aircraft that have gone down historically. It's been proven with extensive testing that the methane does shut down, you know, their combustion engines. They go into the drink. And so these fields are releasing because methane hydrates are only stable at very particular temperature and pressure ranges. Slight changes in temperature release whole fields at once, and then that methane rises through the ocean, hits the atmosphere, starts to change the chemistry of the atmosphere. But these other fields and areas where methane has been releasing are small in comparison to the reservoirs now that appear to be releasing within the Arctic Circle, specifically the East Siberian Shelf. And again, the totality of effect on the atmosphere can't be overstated. Based on previous events, Paleocene-Eocene, 55 million years ago, global mass extinction event, occurring within only a few years, 70% terrestrial extinction, 94% ocean extinction, same with an event 295 million years ago. So these events are quite well documented, and again, this particular scenario has been feared by many scientists for a long time. As the albedo effect is lost in the Arctic, as the Arctic ice melts, instead of that area then reflecting 90% of incoming solar radiation, it now absorbs 90%. So as the ice melts, the ocean warms much quicker, starts to release massive amounts of methane, which cause further warming, which cause further melting. So now, even though people have heard that there may be an Arctic ice-free zone in 2050 or 2070, these estimates are now clearly so incredibly off that the estimates now from the Arctic Methane Emergency Group of scientists state that probably next year the Arctic will be ice-free. The speed at which this event is unfolding and the seriousness of that cannot be overstated.
You also pointed out about what eventually happens to the methane, how it stabilizes onto the land.
From, again, based on paleoclimactic data, if the release is great enough, it is felt that in previous events, methane actually settled into terrestrial topography in a way that, you know, could cause it to be ignited by, you know, lightning or other sources that might cause, you know, whole regions to then explode with fire, boreal forests ignite. It appears that global powers have tried to perform a really lethal mitigation, which is SAG, stratospheric aerosol geoengineering, and SRM, which is solar radiation management, two acronyms for the same programs of filling the atmosphere with light scattering metallic particles, highly toxic particles that appear to be causing massive human mortality. In fact, I was told last night by a physician on the East Coast that the CDC has quietly passed through the data on statistics that now show respiratory mortality in the continental U.S. is number one on the list of human mortality. In the last 8 years, it's gone from eighth on the list of human mortality in the continental U.S. to first. And, you know, if people wonder why they're all hacking and coughing, and these programs absolutely saturate our atmosphere with highly toxic metallic particulates. And if people wonder why every other commercial's an asthma commercial, autism, Alzheimer's, you know, we're all being poisoned by these programs. We're apparently designed to try to mitigate the methane expulsion happening and other, you know, consequences of global warming. But in fact, all these programs are doing is shredding our ozone layer. That's quite well documented, and poisoning everything that lives and breathes on the planet. So it's a cure that's much worse. That's even worse, if that can be stated. It's even worse than the disease in this case. So
we often talk about geoengineering here on this show, and those types of effects. And I remember, Dane, you had mentioned something very interesting about the size of these particulates and how they can go through the lung lining into the bloodstream and clog receptors and dull your senses. And then now you point out respiratory is the number one mortality.
I think for those in power, Jeff, that perhaps their logic is that knowing that this methane mass expulsion was probably coming and that would cause massive human mortality due to unprecedented atmospheric and climate changes, that perhaps in their logic, whatever mortality these programs cause would have happened anyway. You know, but again, had different approaches been taken, had the planet been allowed to respond to the changes that were occurring by increased cyclonic rotation, which are hurricanes, which is a method the planet uses to rejuvenate ozone. Hurricanes are being suppressed with these atmospheric programs. The cyclonic rotation is being suppressed. I mean, this is well documented. We have the patents to show this. There's a U.S. hurricane suppression program. So not only are they, with these geoengineering programs, not only are they destroying the protective layers of the atmosphere, and people should feel how hot the sun is on their face, the UVs are off the charts because the atmosphere is being shredded by these programs, which the shredding is from any particulate cloud in the upper atmosphere causes a chlorine molecule reaction in the ozone layer, which shreds it, period. There's no dispute in the scientific community about that. So
you were one of the first to point that out, and I looked it up online, and it is corroborated online with other scientific groups and agencies. So they're not saying that geoengineering is causing it. They're saying the ozone is being shredded right now. I agree with you on that as well. You're saying geoengineering has limited the natural cyclonic flow of the planet's weather, and the planet has not had the opportunity to naturally mitigate this situation here.
No, and what the powers that be are concerned with is damage from such response from the planet, hurricanes and what they do to coastlines and, you know, cities. So they're saving some short-term damage at the cost of possibly all of our survival in the long run. That is not an overstatement. Their effort to block the sun, and again, yes, the fact that particulate clouds are well acknowledged to shred ozone, and nobody admits it's from geoengineering, it's laughable, absolutely laughable, that virtually all the data on geoengineering states, even from the proponents of geoengineering, that yes, indeed, these programs, if they did it, as if they're not already, but they state, if these programs go forward, it will shred ozone. Anyone who looks in the sky can clearly see that there is unbelievable activity there with, I mean, my background is with solar. I work for Bechtel Power. Mm-hmm. I mean, I lose 70-80% of my solar uptake on given days from strictly what the aircraft are putting out. Clearly, it's geoengineering. Clearly, we have the tests in our county alone, 60 lab tests from the state's lab showing massive particulate content, aluminum, barium, strontium in our rain. Clearly, these programs are absolutely fully deployed. So, you know, the fact that the elephant in the room is not acknowledged is absolutely laughable. You know, these programs have been going on for, as near as we can gather, 50 years, shredding ozone the entire time and painting us further and further and further into a corner the entire time. And now we're off the edge of the plank in free fall. Methane mass expulsion appears to be happening. They've shredded the Earth's natural protection, so even more solar radiation is going to penetrate deeper into the ocean, thawing even more methane. We are truly up the creek, and there appears to be no paddle.
We pointed out in a past interview with Rosalind Peterson from California Skywatch, she talked about, in one article, how in the northern hemisphere that were warming, she noticed that there was a lot of mining going on. And she suspects that there's intentional weather control operations to warm these areas during the winter so they can mine year-round. But there's something else possibly going on here. There's probably the geoengineering to maybe keep the cold air in around the Arctic area so the ice doesn't continue to melt. But this doesn't work either.
Yes, I read two documents, you know, from the mid-90s that indicated Soviet Russia and the U.S. had contemplated geoengineering to warm the poles, specifically the North Pole, to get at those resources. But I believe, based on evidence since that time, that whatever might have been contemplated, that once it was realized the totality of what that would mean and the effect on the globe, that there's been every effort to try to backtrack on any such notion. And in fact, that the spraying operations have been to try to shade everything in the Arctic Circle. In fact, any footage of the area shows skies that are completely saturated with these aerosols. And the data from studies of the fallout show the metallic particulates as well. I mean, there's ample proof that they've been spraying completely the northern regions of the planet to try to slow this ice melt off. In fact, in 2007, by 1.25 million kilometers, the record was broken for total surface area. After that, it appeared that there was a massive ramp up in the spraying, a total shading of the entire northern regions of the planet, and that surface ice area did increase because they were virtually blocking the sun year-round. But the overall density of that ice continued to decrease, and now it appears in total collapse. So as they spray and block the sun, it also traps radiant heat, and it also shreds the ozone wherever the sun does get through. So it's a very, very short-sighted, ill-guided attempt to try to mitigate something by a means that actually does much more harm than good, not to mention poisoning everything that lives and breathes in the process. So a lot of people are making a lot of money on this, but it's not going to do them much good for the road we're headed down. And my hope, Jeff, is that people within the military who clearly are participating in these programs, that they realize that they are sucking the noose around their own neck with the rest of us by participating in programs that will take them down with us. And I hope they wake up. That's our only hope of stopping such programs, is that people within the military, people that are participating in these programs, do their own research and realize that what they are doing is determining their own fate with the rest of ours.
It's good to be hopeful, Dane, but these military personnel are are trained to follow orders, and they have families, and they have a very limited perspective seeing beyond that. I'm hopeful, but I really doubt it at this point because, look, we're 10 plus years into these operations, and no one has really stepped forward, unfortunately.
I understand your skepticism, and I share that as well, but I still hope. And actually, we're probably 50 years into some of these programs, but they've been radically ramped up in the last decade. What we face now, this methane mass expulsion, cannot be hidden for long. It's my hope that as the radical change in climate that is now occurring must be explained, that these programs will then be unable to be hidden any longer, and people who have had their heads buried in the sand will realize the totality of what we face.
Well, you pointed out, Dane, that and in these articles here on the Arctic Methane Emergency Group site, they call for geoengineering right now, military grade, I believe. Here we go. If they can internationally verify the science right now, we're going to see geoengineering right out in the open mainstream media.
Well, you know, they tried to test the water with introducing this to the public sometime back at the conference that I attended, and the question that I was able to get in to, out of 150 or so journalists, they allowed three questions, and I got in one with David Keith, the world's most recognized geoengineer. And his answer was so incredibly ludicrous for a quote-unquote scientist when asked if any study had been done on the human respiratory effect, toxicity effect on waters and soils, on his proposal of dumping 20 million tons annually of nanoparticle size aluminum. And his final answer was, no, we haven't done any such study. Could terrible things happen tomorrow? Yes, we don't know. What kind of answer is that from a scientist? And I think at that point, they realized the public would never accept being sprayed like lab rats with toxic metals. The public would never accept that. So they backed off from any public disclosure at that time. I think they know that disclosing publicly that populations are being sprayed like rats will never fly. So I don't know how they're going to possibly get anybody to accept that. And it'll be interesting to see how the chips fall once people realize that their ailments, and in many cases mortality, has been tied directly to the complete bombardment of the planet with these toxic materials that we've all been breathing. And again, as you stated earlier, 10 nanometers in size, according to their own data, pass right through the lung lining into the bloodstream where those particles clog cell receptors and slowly but surely shut down our systems from top to bottom.
It's very likely they're going to use this emergency as an excuse to, could something really work? Could they transmutate methane? It's hard to say, but we're coming down to the bottom of the hour. I wanted to open the lines here and take some phone calls. Are you ready to take phone calls?
Sure.
If you have a question or comment for our guest, Dane Wigington, please call us at 212-209-2900, and we'll be right back after this break. Listening to Another News, I'm Jeff Brady. That song is Mogwai, Terrific Speech. Our guest is Dane Wigington. We're going to go to the first call.
Yeah, how you doing, Jeff?
Good.
Yeah, how you doing, Mr. Wigington? Basically, I just had a comment. Excuse me, I didn't hear all of your talk on specifically geoengineering and climate control, weather domination. When I was in the military, I worked with some scientists that were involved in that. And the biggest problem that faces any awareness is that, number one, military personnel are really compartmentalized. They're trained to focus on one specific aspect of their job function. And if they try to look outside of anything else, they're immediately shut down, threatened with imprisonment or treason. And it's very difficult for someone in that position to even see outside of
you're right on, Ed. In fact, Dane had described that scenario in a past interview with a young pilot. Isn't that right, Dane?
Yes. It was a KC-135 pilot that I talked to, and he doesn't often know what he's doing. He's just told to fly around, and that's that. So, yeah, I hear you, sir. I've long believed that to be the case, and what we hope is that as more and more people learn about this issue in the population, people with sons and daughters in the military, that the message can be transferred that way, at an exponential level at some point, because the longer these programs go on, I mean, the decimation they're causing cannot be quantified. It's from top to bottom, everything that lives, breathes, atmosphere or oxygen production. I mean, the totality of this can't be overstated.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, I've seen some of the things that they've done as far as dumping shaft and trying to even put cement into clouds, and this was several years ago when I was in the military. But another big thing about this is these scientists actually believe they know better than Mother Nature. They actually believe, they get so caught up in their theories and their way of thinking, because the scientific process is gone. There's no more real three-fort in science. There's no more looking at anything outside of the box as far as scientists are concerned, because they're so caught up with grant money, with white papers and getting funded by the government, that if they try to even step outside of the box, like scientists could do 50, 60 years ago, like Voltaire and even Thomas Edison and other scientists, to really have some original thought, they're shot down. I mean, they are totally, there are guys that I've known and still know that have had some radical ideas, but they were completely shot down and laughed out of the scientific community. And it's a shame.
What you're saying completely agrees with my conclusions, and I work with a number of different scientists and various aspects from soils to biology, and what you're describing is exactly the case that I've seen. Certainly you've seen more in this arena. If you ever had any notion to record your perspectives on this, there would be a great many people, because of your background, that would be interested to hear it if you ever felt comfortable. If you ever did, at the site geoengineeringwatch.org, that site's being redone now. There's a lot more people involved with it, and anything like that would be very welcomed data to be posted on that site, because I think your conclusions are spot on.
Well, thank you for that call, Ed. And Dane, you also welcome whistleblowers as well, and maybe send them to either geoengineeringwatch.org or New York Skywatch or Long Island Skywatch.
Yeah, the geoengineeringwatch.org is not my site, but it's one that I've certainly supplied data to. There's a lot of great people involved with it. There's been, I think, close to 6 million visitors on that site.
That's incredible.
Last 2.5 years, there's 5,000 to 10,000 a night at times, and many of those visitors, I think close to 1 million, are U.S. government, and about 200,000 or 300,000 have been U.S. military. And those are the people we want, because certainly there's a lot of great people in the military who, as this caller just stated, they don't know what they're participating in, and only a few at the top are privy to that information. And those are the people that need to be exposed, and the people that are carrying out this most horrific of all human crimes to date need to know what it is they're participating in, and that's the goal.
Dane, we have another call. Hi, you're on the air with Dane Wigington.
Good evening, gentlemen. Needless to say, it's scaring the world here. I live by the Wanakee Reservoir in New Jersey and by Greenwood Lake, which is 9 miles long, and 50 years. every winter you would see a foot and a half of ice. Literally, you could drive over the reservoir if you could, you know, and not get caught by the police. There's no ice this year whatsoever. Where do you see, sir, this, say, 6 months from now or a year from now? It's hard to predict, but, I mean, with the ice shelves melting, doesn't that flood the coast?
Thank you for sharing what you're observing. And, again, we are in uncharted waters. Going on paleoclimactic data of past methane mass expulsions, too, in the last 300 million years, they happen at blinding speed. And the data can lead one to conclude within a few years, at best, you could see a 10-degree Fahrenheit temperature rise. Now, again, I'm only speculating. There's, as the former caller said, so many scientists are in their own little bubbles, their own little worlds, and all I can say is that the worst case climate predictions to date are all wrong, but all in one direction. They are radically, radically short of how bad things are. And the methane mass expulsion now is the temperatures you see happening at this time. And I just checked Chicago. Tomorrow or the day after tomorrow is supposed to be 87 degrees with rain. Great Falls, Minnesota, the icebox of the country, yesterday broke its all-time record by 20 degrees, 40 degrees above normal, but broke the all-time record by 20 degrees. There will be no hiding this for long. And, yes, sir?
Well, are we looking at drought this summer? Because, quite frankly, I mean, already we're looking at, you know, problems. And you see animals, especially, you know, I commute to New York every day for work. You see ducks, geese, I mean, they're not knowing which direction to go, unless I'm mistaken at this point.
No, we've seen the same thing here in the Pacific Northwest. And, you know, there's a lot of things happening with that. And it's hard to tell, the totality of what is happening. If they're using HARP, the ionosphere heaters, there's 18 around the globe. And if they are, in fact, affecting the magnetosphere, then for the migratory animals, you'd have the combined factors of, you know, a sky full of conductive aerosols that would perhaps alter their ability to detect the magnetic field. You have a magnetic field that may be being pushed and pulled in various directions for their manipulative purposes. And, again, they are playing with every aspect of the mechanisms that support life on Earth. The direness of this issue cannot be overstated. And for people who care, people who are listening, who want to help, there's a website, Truth Media, that, in fact, you can Google the film, a new trailer called Why in the World Are They Spraying? And the journalist Michael Murphy is desperately trying to collect enough donation revenue to finish a new weather modification film that will be much more significant than his last film, Why in the World Are They Spraying? And that can be found online on YouTube under What in the World Are They Spraying? Or geoengineeringwatch.org, either one. And for people who really want to help this issue, and again, any of our resources are going to be quite useless here very soon. And the most dire issue, I believe, from decades of research that we could possibly still do some good in is to stop geoengineering. And again, for people who want to help, geoengineeringwatch.org or Why in the World Are They Spraying on YouTube. Both can be found readily.
If I may ask real quick, the last... We're looking simultaneously at drought, rising, and giant storms all at the same time.
To answer that question, again, back to the geoengineering and back to the aerosols, the science is very, very clear. Particulates in the upper atmosphere diminish and disperse rainfall, period. Even though the atmosphere holds 7% more moisture for every degree of temperature rise, it should be deluging around the globe, and it's not. And the reason it's not is because the planet is virtually encased in a membrane of toxic metallic particles that are shredding ozone, stopping cyclonic rotation, i.e. low-pressure areas, rotations and cyclones. And they're stopping, and also the deflected light. These are light-scattering particles, so they change the light wavelength form, which also radically alters and reduces evaporation. So their operations are stopping the planet from trying to react to what's happening. And so they are painting us further and further and further into a corner while poisoning everything that lives every day they spray. So that's the reason for the drought. It is simply because of the aerosols, period, end of story. Although you might have you know, drier areas in certain places, overall global rainfall should be radically up, and it's quite radically down because of the aerosols.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Really appreciate those questions. We're going to go to another call. But before we go there, I just wanted to mention that the paleoclimatic data that you kind of present against what's happening now in terms of the free fall and the rapid diminishing of ice, that was 300 million years ago. Are conditions such as the atmosphere different now because you know, there are different chemicals in the atmosphere, things are a little, that would change maybe the speed of you know, excessive melting of the ice, et cetera?
Yes, because, you know, we are on new ground, and that's, again, because of anthropogenic activity. And back to the spraying, once again, paleoclimactic data would state that in previous events, as the planet began to warm, these response mechanisms would have begun to take place. Much stronger hurricanes, which increase ozone rejuvenation, higher precipitation, the planet at least begins to try to cool itself. But now that can't happen because every natural mechanism of the planet is being thwarted by these programs. And these programs, again, designed for the end only of those who are carrying them out in a very short-sighted effort to hide, mask, or otherwise manipulate these global systems that are there for a reason. And so, yes, this situation now, again, because of the spraying, in my estimation, would be exponentially worse than already previously horrific events. And so they're painting us again further and further into a corner.
Okay, I got you, Dane. Thank you for that. We're going to go to another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Jimmy.
Yes.
Hey, I was wondering, I just had a question, if you think it's at all feasible or if it would be beneficial to repair any of the damage that we've done to the atmosphere and everything by, like, on some grand scale of planting a lot of different plants, like whatever is best to clean the air and break down different chemicals.
I assume, sir, you're speaking about, you know, various geoengineering proposals, you know, such as scrubbing the atmosphere with these carbon cleaning towers and so forth, all of which, when you get down to the practical mathematics, are virtually unfeasible. And on the grand scale, that's what you have with geoengineering.
Yeah.
But the end result...
I know you're saying about, like, the scrubbing thing, and, yeah, like, there's the expense of that, but, I mean, wouldn't plants just do that better and a lot cheaper?
Yes. Yes, they would. And then, again, back to geoengineering. It's an excellent question. One more method in which the planet is being thwarted in response. And global atmospheric content is plunging. It's plunging because the boreal forests are not expelling oxygen the way they would and should. And the reason that it's felt from fish and game biologists that I've worked with and a Forest Service biologist is that the bioavailable aluminum that is completely saturating the rainfall, it causes a reaction in many types of trees, especially firs. They virtually shut down. They do not grow. The uptake of nutrients stops because they're trying to protect their DNA from that toxic material. So this most effective, most practical, most logical method for the planet to respond and try to start taking some of that carbon out of the atmosphere, that too is being completely thwarted by the same programs that are causing the rest of the decimation, which I already named. So your thoughts are correct, but again, geoengineering is virtually decimating those systems.
Thank you, caller. Sorry to cut you off there. We're going to go to another call. Hi, you're on the air with Dane Wigington.
All right. Thank you for the information. Another programmer on BAI, Gary Nell, mentioned one day a condition called Morgellons disease. And
Morgellons?
Morgellons, yeah. And I went to a dermatologist back in 2004 over a fungal rash, but there was one spot on my lower abdomen that was different, and it was a small patch, and it looked like I was growing feathers. And I went with tweezers and pulled these protuberances out, and they were like strips of glass. What they were was pure silicone that had combined with my DNA.
Jeez.
Now, what Morganellons can do is once it gets deeper into your central nervous system, it can invade your brain, and it's killing people. It's not widely known, but do you know anything about this subject?
I'm in contact with people from the Morganellons group. They're dedicated people. They're studying samples taken from the air that, in their own words, are, quote, engineered pathogens. And there's a lot of data on that particular issue. But again, that, although a very serious issue, all of us, whether we show any such symptoms or not, we are all breathing in with every breath lungfuls of toxic metallic nanoparticles.
Well, I know that because I do yogic breathing and I can tell the difference. I'm 76 years old now, and so over the years I've noticed the more difficulty. But to end my story, the symptoms did clear up and it didn't spread in my body, which I was very glad for. But I look overhead, and this is sort of a side point. When I was 5 years old, I had dreams that informed me of what was going to happen with the skies, and I've puzzled my whole life long what they meant, and now I'm finding out.
Mm. Well, your observations are interesting, sir, and what I would say that everybody can do, because people wonder, what can I do, you know?
Well, I'm trying to tell people, but they're all knuckleheads, and they don't even want to look up in the sky.
Well, I think the climate situation now, and certainly we've all experienced that, any of us that have been in this battle, but the climate situation now appears to be in such a complete implosive state that there won't be hiding this for much longer. And everybody from their own home can send out what I call flaming arrows, find organizations and people who would care if they only knew, Alzheimer's groups, autism groups, ADD groups, and send out credible articles, not some off-the-cuff thing that's, you know...
Well, see, the science does exist, even though it's being censored.
It does.
The science exists, and I gather that you're able to present that information to
those that will listen. But well, I've spoken in front of the California Energy Commission, the eighth largest energy commission on the planet. I've been in Cal EPA meetings, one of the most stringent EPAs on the planet. The whole system has been designed from bottom to top not to show these programs. They stopped testing for aluminum in the water in 2002 in California. The nanometer sized particles are not picked up by any of the air monitoring equipment by design. EPA, I was told, with a high-level meeting arranged by a congressperson with five high-level EPA people, that they are told to test for combustion particulates only. The rest of the sample goes out the window.
The EPA is completely ineffectual.
Completely.
So I'm going to hang up and give someone else a chance, all right?
Thank you for your call.
Much.
Thank you very much for that call. Morganellons, Dane. We got another call. Hi, you're on the air with Dane Wigginton.
Hi, how you doing? I just want to ask a question. Is this mainly the government doing this through the military, or are there private companies? And can you name any of these private or public companies so we can divest in these companies?
What we think is all the above. I mean, certainly if you look up various titles, Owning the Weather, U.S. military document, or Project Cloverleaf, which appears to be an outline for involving commercial carriers, which would make sense. Commercial carriers have been identified repeatedly, dispersing trails. There seems to be ample data to show that they are involved. Not that commercial pilots are involved, not that commercial personnel are involved.
Cargolux?
Pardon me?
Cargolux?
I've heard them, but there's a number that have been involved, and it would make sense because if you do the mathematics on some of the commercial routes that are completely non-profitable, they appear to be being kept in the air by some sort of covert funds to keep them flying for probable disbursement of this. There's also Evergreen Aviation that advertises openly on the net their 747 supertanker for, quote, weather modification. There seems to be no attempt to hide that. So there appears to be a great many carriers involved with these programs, and all the NATO countries appear to be at it. China, Russia also. The Chinese openly announced their Bureau of Weather Modification until their artificial snowstorms, creating rain events out of what should have been rain with ice nucleation chemicals, and they did $1 million worth of damage on Beijing, and then they sort of shut up. But all the globe superpowers are involved.
Unbelievable. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you very much for that call, and he's thinking the correct way. The BDS movement is very effective, the boycott, divest, sanction method to combat, but you have to identify these organizations, corporations. You have Bill Gates involved. Remember, Cindy Pakulis did that presentation that we offered as a premium called Connect the Dots, and she named names and corporations and companies. Remember, Evergreen Aviation were among the planes spraying the core exit. So we got another call. Hi, you're on the air with Dane Wigington.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey.
It's Antonio.
How you doing?
All right, good. Quick observation, when I take the bus down to Manhattan, I could see the sky is like silver gray, and as the summer comes, it gets even worse. One question, two or three questions, and then I'll listen off the air, on the air. One, in 9/11, you've had shows, Jeff, about this. There was a hurricane that was supposed to hit New York. So do I have this right? If they spray enough aluminum, it can kind of direct hurricanes or push them away. Is that possible? That's number one. Because it never hit New York. It kind of was heading for it, and then it kind of went off to the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. Number two, methane gas. So where do you think people could be asphyxiated, like in a mass amount? Like where would that happen on the globe? Like where would you think that the first that would happen?
Not
and
sure if
three,
that would... Okay,
number
go ahead.
Number three, where would be the safest place as things start to get really screwy on the globe?
Let me take those in order.
All right, I'll stay on the phone.
On the 9/11 hurricane issue or any other hurricanes in the Atlantic Basin, after the radically bad 05-06 season, according to Discovery Channel, the U.S. government reinstated its hurricane suppression program, and magically, the hurricanes have been at bay since that time, and there is patented products such as DynoMat. Information about that can be found online. It is specifically for hurricane suppression, and these cyclonic rotations are, in fact, in so many cases now, simply dissolving. Exactly the result you would expect from a massive saturation with DynoMat. Radar shows the aircraft, you know, spraying grid patterns over these areas. So I would absolutely say hurricane suppression is quite conclusive if one looks at the data. On the methane issue, asphyxiation is not so much on the radar with any data that I've seen. What is, however, on the radar, methane over a 100-year time horizon, this seems to be the only time horizon that scientists look at, a 100-year time horizon is 20 to 25 times more potent a greenhouse gas than CO2. However, over a 20-year time horizon, it's 75 times to 80 times more potent. So when you have the quantity of methane being expelled into the atmosphere that appears to be happening, and you take that exponential equation of how much greater greenhouse gas it is, we have a virtual avalanche that appears to be occurring of damage on top of everything already done to date, and the warming with that is simply beyond what people can imagine. And then there's according to paleoclimactic data, there can be, you know, pockets of methane, as was mentioned earlier, I believe, that can pool in certain topographical areas and could potentially be ignited with lightning or something else, where you might have areas of firestorms that would be beyond comprehension. As far as where to go, hard to answer that one. I can quote climate scientist James Lovelock, who felt that under these circumstances, it may end up being small areas that are as far north as the Arctic Circle may be some of the only inhabitable areas left at some point. Let's hope that it doesn't go that far before the geoengineering is brought to a stop, the planet is allowed to respond, and by allowing the planet to respond, there will be a great deal of damage. That would mean massive hurricanes, much more tornado activity, which is cyclonic rotation, much more than we already see. We're already seeing records for this month, and it will be much worse without the aerosols. However, that allows the planet to rejuvenate ozone and at least to try to respond, because at this point, geoengineering is nothing more than a gangrene-infected Band-Aid on top of a wound that can only potentially have a chance to better itself if it's allowed to respond on its own. So I don't know where the hiding spot would be. Probably nowhere at this point.
You say north of the Arctic or Antarctic Circle.
Arctic Circle. I'm quoting James Lovelock, and if you look him up online, look up James Lovelock. You can find, you know, he's been ridiculed in years past for telling the truth, and every day that passes makes more clear he was telling.
Well, a feeling I have is that if you have this much control of the hurricanes, it's kind of nice to know that you could control something and then play the market and stocks and kind of use hurricanes to mess things up or make things, you know.
Oh, they are. They are.
Right, thank you. Thank you very much, Jeff.
Thanks, Antonio. I really appreciate that call.
Final question, Antonio, though, and if people want to look that up and find a little more about it, again, they can look up the trailer, Why in the World Are They Spraying, on YouTube, and you'll see a massive part of the market is weather derivatives or betting on the stock market on where this inclement weather is going to happen. And guess what? It's put together by the very people causing these issues. So it's as rigged as it can be, but people can investigate that aspect of this issue.
Great. We have one more call, I believe. Hi, you're on the air with Dane Wigington.
Hi.
Go ahead, caller.
Jeff, boy, this is the best or the worst program. I don't know which to call it yet.
Uh-huh.
Now that we really understand what all this geoengineering is about, the hairs on the back of my neck are on end. And I wanted to ask you if you two have any thoughts about the newest executive order taking command control of all resources, manners, and methods of production, all industries, all wealth, as well as our labor as citizens and our resources during peacetime?
That's a good question, and it's funny, Dane and I, we've never met, and Dane says, hey man, hey buddy, I hope to meet you someday, and I hope it's not in a FEMA camp.
Uh-huh. Yeah, me too. So can you two elaborate a little bit on that? Because for the people listening, if you don't understand, there is no rule of law. There are only these codes, statutes, and regulations promulgated by these world corporations, and we as employees are obligated through our citizenship as victims.
It's a very strong point. Unfortunately, we have one minute to go
here. If I could cap that quickly, I would fully agree. And to summarize it, yes, there is the noose is being sucked around our neck from every angle. The last counterbalancing potential power is the American population. They're being sickened by the day, and a sick population doesn't tend to protest too much. Soils are being sterilized so that Monsanto's aluminum-resistant seeds are the only thing that will grow. So, again, I would say back to this issue. This is the catalyzing issue that unites people from everything from the Tea Party to the Green Party. If people learned about the issue, told their friends, spread the word, and got this to light, we might have a better chance. We would have a better chance, period. So I hope listeners will respond and try to spread the word as fast as they can and go to these sites, geoengineeringwatch.org, Why in the World Are They Spraying, and try to get the word out because that's our last best chance.
Dane Wigington, one of the top engineers in solar power and researchers in the geoengineering field. Thank you so much for being once again a guest on In Other News.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yes, it's a little dire, but we got to find out. Notice how it's a very underreported story. I think we're going to be hearing a lot more about this in the weeks to come. See you next week, 10 p.m. House upon the hill, moon is lying still, shadows of the trees, witnessing the wild.